Blog Talk Radio.
Ananda on the Love Channel, and I want to thank you for joining me tonight. I just want to say to begin with thank you to the beautiful angels, Vanessa Williams and Brian McKnight, Brian McKnight brought this song through, and Vanessa Williams sings it in such eloquence and beauty. I want to say the words out loud because I think that it's a very important song for me personally in our world right now. Love is, they say it's a river, circles the earth, a beam of light shining in the edge of the universe. It conquers all. It changes everything. They say it's a blessing. They say it's a gift. They say it's a miracle, and I believe that it is. It conquers all, but it's a mystery. Love breaks your heart. Love takes no less than everything. Love makes it hard and fades away so easily. In this world we've created, where this place that we live, in a blink of an eye, the darkness slips in. Love lights the world, unites the love that's for eternity. Love breaks the chain. Love aches for every one of us. Love takes the tears and the pain and turns it into the beauty that remains. Look at this place. It was paradise, but now it's dying. I'll brave the love. I'll take my chances that it's not too late. Love breaks your heart. Love takes no less than everything. Love makes it hard and fades away so easily. Love breaks the chain. Love aches for every one of us. Love takes the tears and the pain and turns it into the beauty that remains. And for me, this is absolutely profound because I really feel that we're on the crossroads of such deep, deep transformation. And personally, being the empath and being the one that, in my perceptual reality, that stays focused on love, it's a very, very hard, lonely path, and it really is about transmutation and taking that which is not in peace that's around us, that's around me, that's in me, through me, at me, and bringing it back to love. And every time that I consciously do it, it's like giving birth. It's agony and ecstasy. The pain that comes through as I'm watching someone I love or watching the world conditions and knowing that I am here to transmute the fear to love, and having to be really strong, and the words are just so symbolic for me because that's what it's saying, that no matter what is going on in my perceptual world, I have one goal, and that's to bring everybody back to love. And so here I sit, an ender of love, seeing the world conditions today especially. I don't do news, so I really didn't know what was going on, but I heard that there was a big almost crash in the market, and, you know, this is foreseen, this has been foreseen, it's what it is, and the world as we know it is about to just crumble. And, you know, I have a little granddaughter coming, and that in mind, it's goes back to the maternal aspect of me, the body I am called mommy, that wants peace and love in her world for her children. And for the body I call Joanne or Ananda. And my dad, who's suffering greatly with his belief in age and dying, and the world at large that really still believes that something outside of it has a power to give it something. Just recently, a friend, a man that I know for a while in Barnes & Noble, a place that I kind of frequent for many years to write my books and also to do counseling and just kind of to be a friend and befriended, Larry has had issues with his lungs, and I've been trying for a while now to try to see him healthy and to show him other options. And he went to Colorado this week and went to a hospital, and I don't know what's going on, but I know that my lungs are right now in the same state of disease as his, because I could feel a constriction of my lungs. And I know that I'm assuming the state of disease so that he can pass through it, and whether that passing through is to leave the body or in peace or to just heal the disease, one or the other will occur. And, you know, when you sit in the witness position and you understand that your role is to be conscious in every moment and to be here to help transmute fear to love, and you start watching how the world has an effect on you if you allow it to. And the shamans do believe that you, you know, in their practice, that they assume the state of the body that they're looking to transform, or and they call it shape-shifting. So they become the animal that takes away the disease, or they become the disease that takes away itself, or just helps the aspect, the vessel that's carrying the disease, to leave in a peaceful way. And I really believe that's what's going on with me. I'm really having a lot of personal dis-peace right now because of it. And so I just wanted to basically talk about that, for one, and open the lines. I mean, really open the lines tonight. If there's anyone out there that feels the desire to be in this conversation with me, to please call in or to access the chat line, be asking questions on the chat line. If you can't find that, when you go on blogtalkradio.com with Insights Radio, at the very bottom of my show, you will see a chat room, and you can chat, just connect to the chat that way. And we do have a caller, so I'm going to open the line right away and just to see who that is and see if they want to communicate with me and to openly or just want to listen. So let me just see who this is. My it's really funny, but my computer lost all visuals. So there's actually no pictures. I don't know what's going on. So it's going to be a little bit tedious for me, but that's okay. That's all part of this game that I'm playing today. Hello? Hello?
Hi.
Hello. Who's calling?
My name is Jenna.
Hi, Jenna. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing okay. I'm just here to kind of just share what I've come to realize. And my teaching is always about teaching myself. It's like listening out loud. So, you know, I appreciate everybody that calls, because I know that everybody that's out there is really here to teach me something about me that I don't see. So why do you think you called in tonight?
I was on Blog Talk and read, you know, the description of your show, and I just decided, you know, to call in and mostly just to listen and, I don't know, maybe get some insights.
All right, so enjoy the show, and I'm going to put you on mute for a little bit. At any point, I may open the lines again, but I want to just share what I've come to realize, and then certainly if you have any questions, you can either enter them on the chat line or just, you know, just holler out loud and just tell me on the chat that you want to talk, and I'll open up the line again. All right, Angel, thank you for calling.
Thank you.
I'm trying to mute. I don't know if I can do it. Okay, and then we have another caller. Jenna, are you still there?
Okay. I am.
All right, honey. I'm going to try to mute you. I don't know if it's going to wear it. I'm going to mute you now. Okay. I don't know if it worked. Okay, and I'm going to open up this one. Science. Hi, who's calling? Hello? This is very silly. Let me see if I can do it on this iPad. Well, before I do that, let me just go into what I was going to start talking about. And that was that, what if we really, as I've been teaching for 20 years now, believe that everything in our perceptual reality is about us? What about if every disease, every challenge, every beautiful moment, everything that's occurring is really an outpicturing of what we think and what we feel about ourselves? I recently opened up to Bruce Lipton, who is a biologist, and he has been very, very instrumental in validating for me what I've come to realize for the last 20 years. And he really is, to me, the most beautiful representative of what I've come to know. And he's a scientist, so it's like 20 years of me getting this, channeling this information and finally seeing it through a perceptual other in his work. And the three books that he's been, which he calls a trilogy, given, and what he shares is, the first one was The Biology of Belief, which is about loving the self. Second one is Spontaneous Evolution, which is about the universe, you know, loving the universe. And then the third book, which I'm reading now, is The Honeymoon Effect, and it's How to Live Heaven on Earth. And it's about loving in a relationship, and it's absolutely divine. And basically he says the same thing. If you take an unhealthy cell and you put it in a healthy Petri dish, it actually transforms. All the disease leaves itself, and it goes back to health. So who is open on the line? Who is there right now? I'm hearing somebody, but I don't know who it is. So if you're hearing me now, can you just tell me if you want to keep the line open or you want me to close it? Okay, let me just see. This is so bizarre. I'm telling you that the actual, all the, like, the buttons are gone. All I can do is, like, almost guess that you're being muted or that you're live. I wonder if I can, let me just see one moment if I could do it on this, this other program that I have here. Anyway, so with that in mind, you know, how do we feel about that? How do you feel about the fact that everything in your perceptual reality is coming from you? He's saying, Bruce, that 95% of what we see is subconscious programming that we don't even know. And again, I've been teaching that everything really is a mirror, and the mirror is showing me everything. Because I'm really self-focused, because I'm an ego, because I'm a persona, what I tend to do is look in the mirror at only me. And I don't realize that around me also is me. What's in behind me in the closet in the mirror is also me. And so when I start really seeing that and understanding that the world, in fact, is showing me aspects of me that maybe I can't see. And so now for me, which I've been doing for all these years, is I've been using the world as a gauge, a barometer, to show me how clear I am, to show me how disoriented or dysfunctional I've been in myself and then seeing in my world. And so Bruce is basically saying that everything in our perception, and this is not about blaming ourselves, but taking responsibility for what we see. And for me, it's been absolutely profoundly beautiful. And reading this last book of Bruce Lipton has really inspired me to republish a book that I did in 2000 called The Heaven's Formula. And it's a beautiful book that needs to be updated. So I've been doing it for the last couple of days, and I hopefully will have it done by mid-July. And this book basically is the actual formula about living heaven on earth, how to go about it step by step, and how to realize that you do have the power to change everything in your world. So with that in mind, for the callers, and whether they be live callers, people that listen on the archive or the chat room, if there's any, again, questions or comments that you'd like to make about that, I'm going to just continue. I had a situation the other night, actually last night, and I shared it on my Facebook. And what had happened was, it was really late, and I tend to sleep a lot in the day and stay up at night because I do a lot of writing and counseling, and so it's just a quiet, peaceful time for me. And I usually have dinner really late. Well, last night I decided really late, around midnight, to have a can of coconut ginger soup that I had bought on one of the sale aisles in Publix. And, you know, I love ginger and I love coconut. And, you know, it was a Thai soup, and I dig Thai food. So I said, okay, let me go for it. And I want to tell you that when I ate it, and I share it like this, this is what I said. Last night around midnight, I made myself dinner, and it was a coconut and ginger soup. And I tell you, it was love in all its many aspects. The smell, the taste, the sight, and the feeling of complete ecstasy was present. Though I speak of these holy encounters often in the teaching that I do, this was one of the most profoundly beautiful moments that I can remember. So, and then I said, when something resonates so completely with one's body, mind, and spirit, surely it is a taste of what we call oneness. And for me, I wanted more. So that, for me, is what I've been teaching. I've been teaching people through A Course in Miracles, which is my path, that everything in our perceptual reality is either about the past, about the present, or about what will come to be at some point in reality. So that if everything is an outpicturing of us, we're either seeing the past, and in most instances, we are seeing the past. We're only seeing aspects of what we were taught to see. And those programs become our life. And that's why at some point people have that, you know, that almost like rebirth or second, you know, they have an awakening like I had in 1995, and they say, what's going on here? Because nothing that I've been doing for the last umpteen years is feeling right. I'm sick, I'm upset, my relationship broke up, I'm losing everything. And what comes to most people when they're conscious is, wait a second, I've been living vicariously somebody else's life because I don't even believe half of this stuff. A lot of it is, you know, we're living mommy's dreams, we're living daddy's nightmares, whatever. And what comes through us is what they've taught us to. And so I always say it's like we're doing constant reruns. You know, we turn on a television station and we're actually watching the same program over and over again. But when you start realizing, when you do self-inquiry, that it's just you that's doing it to you, because you have a choice at any point to say, you know what, I had enough of this, I'm doing something different. Which I did many times this lifetime. I mean, so many times that it's almost ridiculous, but I have always been about rebirth. I've always been about, okay, I did this, it's done, now let me go on to the next. And in each perspective or perceptual reality, I think, and I really believe now in retrospect, when I look back, that I really did walk through a belief system. And, you know, there are many belief systems that we hold on to. So anyway, with that in mind, I really feel that when we start watching our world, which I call metaphoric awareness, which is part of the new book, that everything is perfectly placed to show me exactly where I am, what I'm feeling, what is to come if I stay on that path. We do live in infinite realities. We do simultaneously have the opportunity to attract, as the law of attraction would say, but I believe it's reflect through us, at us, exactly what we feel. And so when you start becoming conscious, you know, it's almost insane to choose less than you desire. What happened to me this week with the situation that I opened up with the man in my life that I've been trying to work with the lung issue, and then the last 2 days I can hardly breathe, which is not me. I haven't been to a doctor for 18 years. I don't believe that the body needs to be sick. And what happened to me, as soon as I allow my thoughts to believe in anything that's not of the brilliance of being one with God, or the what I call in the Course in Miracles, you know, we are the heirs to the kingdom of heaven. We really should constantly be in bliss. And that's what Ananda is. Satchitananda is the consciousness of remembrance and the dedication to be focused on just love and just the kingdom of heaven. So when we start becoming conscious, we start realizing that, hey, that doesn't feel right. You know what? I got to do something different. And, you know, we do until we understand all we got to do is be. We never really have to do. All we need to do is be to see what it is that we are outpictured. And I always say this over and over again, that I need become the love I desire to see. I need to become the wealth that I desire to see. I have a beautiful little meditation tape, which, you know, most of the listeners know about. And my YouTube is, YouTube.com/Ananda of Love. And it's a little 5-minute meditation that I did in 2009. It's got over almost 300,000 hits, and people write me telling me that they're not the same after listening to it. And basically what it is affirming the health, the love, the wealth, the joy, the presence of I am being wholly one with God, with love, with peace, with joy. So once I become conscious and I start realizing that everything in my world is a mess, you know, it's up to me then to become different. And it is about the becoming which I call the being, what I assume I am is what I see. So I assumed for some reason that I had to help the sick part of myself called Larry, who's going through some deep, heavy mindset called I have lung issues. So I believed in disease, and my belief in it perpetuates it, and it becomes an attractor. I become attractive to it. I become an attractor field for that. And what then occurs is that I become Larry, because Larry really is just an aspect of my mind that was disoriented for a moment, that could believe it to be sick, and I bought into it. And the more that I buy into it, the more that I will see it in my perceptual reality. So how do I get out of it? How do I get out of this distress that I'm feeling in my lungs? And for me, what I have to do is I have to go back to the sane mind, the mind that knows. A Course in Miracles calls it miracle-mindedness, where I would go back to the belief that there is a way to see this differently. And for me, it always goes back to self-love, self-nurturance. I believe that I can change and transform anything if I allow myself the rites of passage to believe that I can. And the only way to see the change is to believe that you can see it. So, you know, it's not that we're not doing this 24/7, because we are, but most people don't give themselves the credit. They give the drug. They give the partner, they give the job, they give the doctor, they give the new herb, when in fact all we're seeing out there is an outpicture of our own beliefs made manifest. And so I believe that that herb called cayenne helps my digestive system. So what I do is I assume that it does, and then the assumption brings into form a capsule called cayenne. And I feel like I'm taking it, but when in fact all I'm doing is believing it works, and it does. I used to tell people years ago, because I was involved in Herbalife with my one of my ex-husbands, and because I didn't believe in herbs, it was like ridiculous, I would say to them, you don't have to take the herbs, or if you do, just reach for one of them. Because that connection, like me and Bruce Lipton, that connection validated what I've come to realize within me, and then I will heal. And so, you know, a lot of people, including Bruce Lipton, who I absolutely adore. I mean, this guy is never, I've never seen anyone in 20 years, all the Deepaks, all Wayne Dyers, all the brilliant, brilliant aspects of the One touch me in such a way, because it validates everything that I've been living. And so anyway, he even says that, you know, on the way to the doctor, most people heal. They don't heal at the doctor's office, because the doctor's not a healer. What he really is, in fact, is calling in disease, because his whole life is about disease. And, you know, that's really radical, because many people in our perceptual reality go to doctors. Many people in our perceptual reality believe in those energy drinks. I'm a perfect example that what you believe is made manifest in your reality, because I've broken ankles, I've severed fingers, I've had tumors, I've had all kinds of things, and all I had to do was go back into the field and recapitulate and reestablish the assumption in me of what I knew that I am one with the One, that I am one with the infinite field of potential. And once I know that, I can tap into any reality. And what I mean by that is that I could be well instead of ill, that I could be sane instead of insane, that I could be rich instead of poor. I walk in such a high energy knowing that I am wealth and I never want for anything. And this is my whole life before I even became spiritual, in a sense, before I became conscious. I always knew that in me was the potential to have anything I ever wanted. And there's just so many things that occurred, but I noticed that they occurred. And that's what I encourage the listener to do today. If nothing else that you get for the show, and I decided to do an hour and a half show now. I'm not only doing the hour, because I really feel the last hour or so a lot of people are lonely at midnight and you know, in the wee small hours, and they really need someone out there, and that's just my belief, and that they're more apt to call in and share and learn and be a part of the love. Anyway, I just lost my train of thought for a second. Somebody's calling from Skype, and I don't know who that is. If anybody that calls could possibly get on the chat room as well, so I could identify if you want to talk or not, because like I said, my computer's showing me no icons, and that's just part of my mind right now for whatever reason. I'm making my life complicated. So if you can go on to the bottom of the page on With Insights Radio and just go on to the chat room, it would be awesome. So anyway, that's basically what I come to teach and come to live, that what I assume becomes my reality. And so a man recently that I didn't know, I shared this last show on one of my Facebooks, because I have many, because I have different names from different marriages and stuff, called me, and he wrote me, and he said that I have, that he believes that my belief that I could help the dictator in North Korea has actually helped him, because he can't believe that it's just everything's diffused there. It has been diffused. And I don't even know this man. I didn't even know he was listening to me. But I believe that when people start watching what you say and they start seeing that what you say starts happening, they start realizing the power that be is within. And because I always tell people that whatever they're getting from me is just them outpictured. I am nothing but a channel for the higher knowing. And we all are. We all are. We're all just vessels for God, or the giver of all, which I like to call it. So as I was saying, me being and feeling that essence of being the richest, most beautiful, most loved person on the planet, and then you are too, and then you are too, and because that's what I believe. Everybody I meet is a perfect mirror of the love I am, and I show it, and I try to live it, you know, in every moment. And because I had this little moment the last really day and a half where I'm feeling this congestion in my lungs, I need to be alone in my little world, which I call my little sanctuary, but the sanctuary is really just the caverns of my own mind. And I go there and I reestablish who I am, and I say, wait a second, this is absurd. This is not who you are. And for me, I've come to realize, and I share this a lot lately, that at some point on this path, I started, which is really, you know, there's no time, so it's just a decision. I decided that I am just a vessel, really just a vessel. You know, all the power I thought I had, all of the, you know, the creativity I thought I had, was merely just me accepting what wanted to be born through me. Because each one of us is one with God. Each one of us is one with the field of infinite potential. And I say that, and when I say that, the callers that I'm seeing, listen to what I say. Hear this if you hear nothing else, because every cell in your body is recording what I'm saying to you right now. Every cell in your being is telling you that in you is the power to transcend any limitation that you have, you know, to transcend any conflict that you're experiencing. Any physical disease that's going on in your body right now is just a belief that there can be dis-ease in your body. And the body is it's like the mega cell. Because it is a complete reflection of what you feel about yourself. You tell it how to behave. You teach it exactly what it is that you feel about you, it makes manifest. So what's going on in your body right now? What is that body that you're wearing telling you about you? You know, what is it saying? Is it saying, I have a backache? Is it saying, I'm not beautiful enough? Is it saying, you know, I have an irritation, my back is itchy, or my hands are hurting, or whatever? Everything in your body is geared to tell you exactly what you told it to tell you. And once you get it, once you truly understand that everything that you're seeing in your body and feeling in your body is contingent upon you to change it or to extend it or to keep it alive. Because what we put our mind on, we breathe life into. The more we focus on something, the more we'll see it. And, you know, if you doubt that, tomorrow, just decide you're going to see white cars for the first hour when you're driving to work. Or decide that everything in the house, all of a sudden, you're going to just notice is pink. And you will be shocked that everything that you see will be aligned with what you thought you'd see. And we're waking up as a mind, as a humanity, as a consciousness. So we're starting to see it a lot more. I've been hearing it, especially with my kids. It's mind-boggling. Oh, my God, I can't believe I was just thinking that. Look, there it is. Oh, whoa, I just said that. You said it at the same time as me. You know, this is happening more and more. And why is it happening? Because I'm becoming more conscious. The more I become it, the more I see it. Callers, if you'd like to call in. I'm going to try to open this line. Again, I can't see the icon, so if you hear me and I hear you, oh, come on. Hello? Hello? Oh, this is so silly. Let's see, unmute. Let's see, live. I'm actually feeling my way around. It's hysterical. Hello? Hello? Come on. Anyway, I keep trying to do that and I'll just continue. All right, so people say, well, you know what? If I had a better job, I'm telling you, I know that I could be more happy. And if I'm more happy, I know that if I had more money, if I had a relationship, if I had a better body, if I had, all you have to do is believe it, know it, and it is. You don't get paid outside of you. Whatever you're doing because you believe you are it. So that job you're doing, love it, hate it, is you, outpictured at you. What you're getting paid is what you feel you're worth to be paid, and you're paying that aspect of you to pay you back because in truth there's no aspect of you out there. It's all inside. When I got that, oh, my God, I never have not that less than a lot of money in my purse, and not because it means anything. It's only love. But once you get that, how could you accept less than you are? How could you accept that you're less than God? How can you be sick if God is complete health? How could you be poor if God is infinite wealth? And I keep saying God, but for me, I love hearing myself say the giver of all. God gives me, I receive, and there it is. There is nothing to give outside of self, though we think we are. I've been a giver and a caretaker all my life. I was caretaking inadequacy. I was taking care of parts of me that were lost, believing they were lost, and enabling them to believe they were lost. So all my counseling that I did for years was keeping people believing they needed me for help, when in fact I was the one calling them in to help myself. So the job you think you're doing is only you believing you have to do in order to be, in order to have. And this is so completely contradictory to anything you learn in telemarketing. My ex-husband and I, he was president team in Herbalife, the third husband. And, you know, those people really believed they had to do a daily method of operation. They believed they had to do it. They had to take the product. They had to go to every meeting in order to have something going on. My phone is freaking out. I'm sorry. I hope that it's not happening on your end, but, you know, it's all part of whatever's going on today in me. Anyway, so the fact is all you got to do is believe it. There was a girl in Herbalife who was really a trip, and she best represented me because I didn't do Herbalife for 19 years like my husband and his ex-wife did. I didn't build the house that I moved into that was huge and a lot of property. I didn't earn the president team diamond pin that I got. I just showed up. And not to at all demean or belittle an aspect of me that did that, but that's been my whole life. So this one girl was very into Buddhism, and she was in Herbalife, and she just happened to be at London, and she met this lawyer, and she just got signed up for Herbalife, and she said to him, "You're too fat, you should get all the products." He did, and he became one of the top sellers for Herbalife, and she did nothing but wear her pin, and she gets over $1 million a year just because she does mantras all day long. She still asks people, "I don't know how to sell the product." She doesn't have a clue because she didn't have to have a clue. She knew on some level that those mantras were calling in to her, through her, at her, exactly what she needed to do, the vibration she needed to be in to bring in what she needed or wanted. So when I get disoriented, when I feel that I can't be rich in the moment, I can't be healthy, I can't be in a good relationship, it's only because one of those programs interfered with my present moment. They came into being. And as they come into being, it's like I'm being lured into the past, into a program. There's no past in truth. It's just a program. You know, in The Matrix, if you know, you really watch that trilogy, it is mind-boggling because it's so clearly what we are as a mind, that we're being plugged into us, a belief system. And we either assume it, which we usually do, and for some reason, I have no idea why, but from the time I'm tiny, I never bought into the belief systems. I never let myself go where they were going. I always believed in magic. I always believed there was a power in me that was a lot smarter than mommy and dad. Hi, who's there? Hello? I'm hearing somebody on the phone. I'm trying to, whoever just called in and whoever's on the chat line, there's many callers, but my icons are gone, so I'm not able to pull up the calls. I'm going to try to get on a different browser as I'm talking. Anyway, so I never believed in that, so I didn't buy into the lies I was told. Well, you can't do that because that's not possible, or you're not good enough, you're not pretty enough, you're not smart enough, you're not whatever enough. You know, after all, guys are much better than women. And you can, you know, you'll never be able to do that kind of work. And needless to say, my whole life has been about doing that kind of work. I mean, it's plumbing, electricity. We did my whole house. I made it. I redesigned the 1928 house that I inherited in 23 into a beautiful Art Deco house without knowing anything about architecture. So these are the things that I've done my whole life. Anything that I've done, I allowed to come through me. It wasn't from me. And because I didn't get caught into the matrix for some reason, because I guess I had to be who I am and be a vessel for the God that I am to help humanity, which is just another belief system. But I really have been living what I teach. It's not just, you know, hogwash. It's not like, well, you know, when I'm a counselor and I'm going to coach you and I'm going to show you, I am it. I am the change. I am the wealth. I am the health. I am all of the above. And as I'm talking, my lungs are clearing because I cannot buy into the illusion of assuming dis-ease. So I like to kind of give a lot of different scenarios to help people, aspects of me, aspects of the one, who might be a little bit more logical in their understanding, because I tend to be very abstract. So what I try to do is I try to bring different scenarios, and one would be, for me, being in theater in my early life. For about 15 years of my life, I was in a community theater experience, and I directed and produced and performed. And in that arena, when I directed a show, I had power in that position to create every character to be exactly the way I felt it should be. And though we read the script, and that script was done maybe thousands of times by different theater troupes and directors and performers, my interpretation of that show is what people were going to see on opening night. And because I was the director, I felt personally that I had to know every character better than I knew myself. And so I would actually get so involved in the script that I could have played any one of the characters. And every character on that stage performed exactly the way I would have them. And that's life. When you're in the driver's seat, when you know that you have the power to do anything, let's assume that it's you. But for me, I believe it's the giver of all. I believe it's the God I am that crowns me with the knowledge to bring forth that which desires to be born through me. So I'm the director, and that's what I do. As soon as I give up my director seat and I say to you, I point to you and I say, you, I no longer am directing my show. As soon as I react and argue with one of the performers, I become that performer's equal, and now I'm on the stage with the performer, and somebody is directing me. And that's life. You're either the director or you're performing for somebody else on their stage. So when you start realizing this and understand that, as soon as you say, you know, why are they doing that? You're giving every bit of your life force to that aspect of you. And it could be the government. It could be the hospital. It could be the lover. It could be the nasty neighbors. It could be whatever. But as soon as I do that, I have no power. It's like I took all my breath and breathed out. What happens if you breathe out completely? You're not breathing in. You'll probably pass out. When you pass out, you become unconscious. And that's what happens for most of us in 3D reality. We become unconscious, and we go back into the program, and we play the part we were given rather than the part that we feel we want to perform as. So with me, because I've done this for 20 years and I've really stayed in the energy of conscious knowing that I am the maker of all I see, about a year ago I decided, you know what, I'm giving that up too, because I want to be the recipient of God himself. I want to be the receiver, the female receptive principle that is given from the male of all males, the male that has everything. I want him to give me what he wants me to have. And how do I know? How did he know what I want to have? Because him and I are one. Only difference is he's the male, I'm the female. And that's why the Divine Mother, the patriarchal society as we know it, is dying, because the patriarchal is all about doing. Females doing, males doing. We got to do in order to have. No. We have to be female in order to receive. So all this belief in the law of attraction, what a farce. There is nothing to bring to you. It's only receiving. I'm receiving it not outside in, but inside out. Because I'm receiving it, I'm open, I'm receptive to that which I desire. I receive it, I feel it, I know it. Like with my can of soup last night, that soup could have cost $50, that can of soup, and I would have bought another can tonight, it was $4. And I was like, I have to have this soup. This soup resonates better than anything I've ever resonated with in my whole life. I ate that soup, and as I was eating it, now I understand with the Buddhism that you sit in present moment and you digest like it's you, that you're making love to this soup. That soup was fulfilling every fiber of my being. And was it the soup that did it? No, it was me in resonance. I was completely receptive to that which was wanting to be born through me, and we call it coconut ginger soup. But in fact, it was just me dancing in the divine knowing that I was one with heaven itself. So when you get to that state of remembrance, and not even remembrance because there's no time, it's just a state of being. I am wealth. How do I know? Because I feel so freaking rich. And do I see it in my world? Yes. Look at everything around you. everything around you is of you, through you, at you, and it's all about love. So that painting on the wall is your love nature. And that soup I ate, my love nature. And my body I wear, my love nature. My body and my body of work, because everything in my world is telling me what I feel about me. Even the bum, so-called bum on the street. He's saying, look at me. Look at me. I'm rich. I never go without a meal. I know where to find my meal. Every night, that's where I go, that restaurant. And, you know, half of the time, those people throw out their steak. They don't even want it. So I get it. So everybody in my perceptual reality is showing me. And if I don't judge, doesn't matter if it's a bum in the street or a friggin' millionaire. It doesn't matter because it's all of me. And that's what's so beautiful about knowing that God is I am. God is I am. I am that I am. What I believe I am, I am. Course in Miracles is so clear, and I said this for years as my mantra. I am the light of the world. I am the heir to the kingdom of heaven. Who said that? Jesus. Who is Jesus? I am. You are. We are it. He says, I had to hang up my body that I wore to show us that it's not about the physical. It's about the spirit I am. I'll be back as the spirit I am. And that spirit now can go into any vessel it wants to. So when I know I'm a spirit, all I have to do is choose differently. So I don't like the way my belly looks. Oh, it just so happens that the guy down the street is a doctor, and he's going into residency, and he needs two more patients to do a tummy tuck on. Is it real? In your world, it is. It's what you believe you have to do. And there it is. Oh, how divine. And believe me, that's happened so much in my life. It was ridiculous. I was 21 years old, and I didn't like my nose. I didn't like it. I was very insecure. My brother used to call me names. And all of a sudden, a lady I knew said, Joanne, Bronx Hospital is having this man that he's already had his Beverly Hills practice, and you know what? He needs one more patient, and you know what it's going to cost you? Nothing. So not only did he reconstruct my nose, he cut cartilage so my lip was dropped, he wanted to do my boob for nothing. I didn't go that far. But the reality is that I wanted it. So it came to me. Did it come to me? It came through me. It happened in my mind. It was a dream realized, and I made it into form. I designed it like a sculptor. And I made it be a man because that's what I believed it had to be to reshape my face. And that's what happened most of my life with my men in my life. The false idols. I believe I needed to have in my mind a male counterpart to give me what I needed to give myself. So I made it happen. And each male I was with gave me everything. Then I realized that it wasn't the male. It was me giving it to me and giving it to them to give to me. Now, does that sound silly? It really does. It sounds insane. But it's the truth. It's so simple. When I was a little girl, I was a princess. I had a little friend, Fern, whose dad and mom owned a bridal shop, and every day we wore the tiaras and the crowns and the little dresses and the magic wands, you know, because I believed I was a princess. And we are all princesses, and we are all the heirs to all that is. We are all it. So any relationship that you're in that isn't peaceful has nothing to do with the other. It's all about you and accepting the love that you are. Any body disease that you're having, and please, again, forgive me. I don't know why the icons are broken. So I can't open the lines. My email is Ananda, A-N-A-N-D-A, of love, at AOL.com. Any questions you have about what I taught tonight, and we have another 35 minutes, so I'm not rushing, but please email me, and I'll be happy to answer you. I do personal counseling, and I have money on there as a gift. If you want to do that, if not, I do it for whatever, for nothing, because it's only me doing it myself, to myself, at myself, with myself. So feel free. I am very, very abstract, so, you know, take what you want, leave the rest. But I will tell you, if you get nothing else, which I'll keep saying, understand that you do decide in every moment, whether it be unconsciously or consciously, what's happening in reality. You know, and we can go into the personal things that are going on in the body, personal issues. Remember, the body that we wake up with is our first reflection. Our body is our best teacher. It shows us exactly what we feel about ourselves. So if there are infirmaries, if there are pains, if there is suffering, if there is disease in the body, what body part is it? Where is it in the system? Is it the throat? If it's the throat, it's communication, creation. You're having a time, hard time bringing up, expressing what it is that you need to express. If it's the breast, if it's the female organs, it's about maternal issues. You're not mothering yourself. You're not nurturing yourself. You're not caring for yourself, for your beliefs. You're denying your own beliefs. The lungs, the same thing. You're not living in truth. That's an issue I'm going through now. So as soon as I understand, I feel them now. So my higher self is saying, get on with this. You know better. Stop living your life the way. If it's your back, it's warm. And you're in survival. Survive either through a job, a relationship, support from another, some kind of energy drink, some kind of herb, some kind of whatever, some kind of. It's all about back issues. It's all about support. If it's your leg, it's movement. If it's the left leg, it's female. If it's the right leg, it's male. Male is male. It's just female. It's female. It's shift. So if you're female, it's feeling. She can't move forward. It's because the male's too active in her. If it's the male is too dominant. He has to learn to accept it, and that's why the right leg has problems. If it's the shoulders, and the hands and the arms, that's creativity. Female is the right, left, and male is the right. And it's the same thing, taken as the addition of my reach forward. If you're having both my wrists, right and left, have issues. Because I'm a creator, and if I'm psychic, the electricity, whatever, I'm going to have physical constriction stuff. That's energy. Because we're an energy body. Like the cancer, skin cancer, face. What are they telling you? You're afraid to look at yourself. You don't like what you see. You were taught to not like what you see. And it may not even be a beauty thing. It might be a gender thing. You may not like the gender that you are. Or the gender that the female. People over the years. If it's the nose, you know, sinus condition, all the congestion in the nose and the head is all about too many thoughts. The ego and the monkey mind is wild. Ears, I don't want to hear it. And the first 8 years of a kid's life is their learning period. They come in as spirits, and then the spirit I am assumes the parents, and those parents reflect exactly what that spirit came into, and they reaffirm it until it's grounded in that body called child until he's 8 years old, and then he lives it or he changes, which I did. I never bought into it. But that is when we are taught to be who we came in to be, because I don't believe that we come in as innocent, as a lot of people say. We come in as children, we're pure. We come in as a spirit, assuming another body. And that's why some parents are murderers and some parents are abusers and some parents are angels, because we come in with that energy, our pictures back at us, and we come in to reestablish it in a lifetime, in a reality, so that we can become it again. And so it's all about relearning. We learn, we unlearn, and we relearn. A Course in Miracles says that. And once we all bets are off. There's no programs. I don't have programs. I never know what I'm doing from day to day.
I hardly know what I'm going to wear, where I'm going to go, what direction. And even if it's the same location, ultimately, I don't even go the same way every day because it's not about programs. I don't do television. So why would I do television in my life? Even Sirius Radio, I love it. There's no commercials, but I'm noticing that a lot of the stations I'm listening to are playing the same music over and over again. So what does that mean? I got to choose again. I can't do programs. I cannot allow myself to get caught in a program that's going to keep me from the full access of the field of infinite potential. Callers are getting dropped, and again, I don't know why. I'm so sorry. The connection. Where I am. And it's a good thing or a bad thing. It's just that a lot of people don't want to believe that they are. It's that. Rather than see if I can do the call. Love me because they know I'm coming from a good space, but they also say about, you know, Jesus. Savior. That's a lie. All it is a mindset. Magic. You believe in that? Direct connection to everything you've ever dreamed of. I'm giving myself. I'm taking you home. Hold my hand. And when you go these, and it's not that we do that. He said, I did it because I had to. Somebody had to do it. Right? You do more than now. But if you want to. You don't have to. But it's not so we get what we wear. That's why I love about me. We really are. God himself, not God, dancing the dance of life. And what a beautiful, experience to have. That array. We did it in life, and we're doing it in life. I'm looking at age 23, and I tell you,
when I was sick, nobody around me was sick. They weren't sick because they felt loved. I had girls working for me that were cool. They were HIV positive. They had all kinds of diseases, age-related diseases, because they were inadequate. And they would tell me this. Abused, and they'd be stomping in my arms, and I hit them. I'm ashamed that that's what they did. I'm ashamed of the position to the truth that they had all to do with God. And take care of the clients. The clients would walk in, and my little secretary was reception. Well, women and men who had terrible diseases in the mind of man before they came into that environment. And it didn't take much time to do it. And if they would believe like I did, it would take a nanosecond. But they believed that they had to go to perfection. So, again, what I'm saying is this is the time now for us to awaken the God I am. This is the time. I am awakening God in me and in my world. I think I might be able to open one of these lines. Let me see. Hold on one sec. Hello? Hello? Part. Hello. It says live. It's silly.
Hello.
Feeling my way around. Hello.
Hey.
Who's this?
Joe.
Hey, Joe. Did you call before?
Yes, I did. I called last night.
How are you?
I am doing fantastic. I just realized we're going into summer solstice tomorrow.
That's it, and we're in it. Thank God. We're all basically in it right now.
Yeah.
And you feeling better since last time?
Yeah, much. I messed up a lot of shoulder. Actually, me and my friend went into the woods and I found a stick for a wand.
What'd you find, honey?
A stick so I can make a wand.
Awesome. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Joe made
the wand yesterday.
That's cool. That's very good. I'm glad. Yeah, Joey's not here tonight. He didn't show up, but he'll be glad to hear that you're doing better. I'll definitely tell him. And your energy feels like it's back in alignment?
Yeah, very grounding, like since I walked in the woods for like 2 hours.
That's beautiful. That's awesome. Anything that you want to share with us tonight? Anything inspirational that can help the listeners on any level?
Well, love is a greater power, and if we write a forgiveness letter to ourselves, we can ultimately grow.
Yeah, love is where it's at, and everything is love, you know. And that's why, that's why I don't use God that much. I like to use love because love is about joining. That's about the oneness. It's so beautiful.
Yeah.
So, is there anything else you wanted to say? I was able to let you on. I'm so glad because all my icons are gone. So I've been feeling my way around. We have Janet, I think, still on the phone. I'm going to try to open it up to her, see if she wants to say anything. So hang on there, Joe. I'm so glad that you're with me tonight, and I'm so glad that you're feeling better. So I will talk to you in a bit, baby. Let me just see if I can put you back on mute. I don't even know if I can. You may have to stay on. But let me see if I can get Jenna. I think she's still on here. Hello? Jenna? Hello?
Nope, so me.
All right. Yeah, I decided to do the show the hour and a half because I really feel like, I go the hour and then I have so much more to say, and it's like, you know what? That half an hour sometimes helps. this is.
I know you have people calling in that want to share stuff, so it can be like.
Yeah, we had a lot of callers.
Yeah.
But Blog Talk's a little bizarre because, I mean, that, you know, for some reason, it drops callers, and it's just not a clear connection. I don't know. And, again, it might just be me, but I don't know.
No,
it has
been
to be.
Happening to everybody.
Hello?
Hey.
Jen, are you there? Oh, it keeps saying that it's live, but it's not happening. So now, here, let me try it again. Can you hear me now, Jenna? Hello?
Nope, still me.
All right, honey. Well, anyway, so what do you feel about what I've shared? Do you have any feeling or questions about anything that I've shared so far?
Not really. Like, it's just very open-minded, and I like people that are, like, open-minded. Because the more open-minded you are, the more vulnerable you are to understand.
And the more open-minded, the more receptive we are, and that means that I'm open to whatever needs to come through me, because I really claim no power other than what the giver of all is through me. And believe me, for me that was hard because I love to direct and control, because that was most of my life.
Yeah. Because even in Wicca, it's about controlling yourself and projecting outwards. So if you project love, you're going to get love back. If you project healing, you're going to get you're going to get healing back.
You know that everything, because I've done all kinds of religions and all kinds of sacred texts, and they're all saying the same thing. Basically, what is that you will accept is what you'll see. You know, by your
Yeah. Choice,
it is done unto you. And it is a self-fulfilling prophecy. So I see people like my daddy, my diabetes, and daddy. You know, this, it's not a possession. Why are you claiming it? You know, but that's what he
because
was taught. He never
scared.
Got out of the program. I'm sorry.
Because they're scared.
It's only fear. It always goes back to fear. You're so right. I'm going to try one more time to get Jenna on. Hold on one sec. Now, let's say mute. Okay. Hello? Wow, that's weird. Hello? Are you still there, John? Hello? It wants to let you on because I keep hearing it. All right. Hello? That's not, it's not coming on. All right. Anyway, so Jenna, if you're still there, again, if you have any questions, please don't hesitate to write me at anandaoflove.com. My website is mindmending.net. And I also have a lot of YouTubes on YouTube, and it's YouTube.com/anandaoflove. Also, I have a lot of books and CDs and stuff. But if you go on my website, you'll find all of that. So going back to my coconut and ginger soup, man, that was so delicious. And bringing that into a love relationship, you know, it's just amazing when you really understand that everything that comes with you, that comes at you, is really of you. And you start seeing a relationship for what it is rather than what you'd want it to be. Because the wanting to be is always about believing that there's something outside of you to give you something. But when you understand that you're just loving yourself and that mirror that you call the lover, or that mirror that you call, you know, the husband or the child, is just an outpicturing of what you feel about yourself. And I had it the other night so strong, and I share this a lot, but a few weeks ago I decided that I was going to be with my lover, even though the physical manifestation of him wasn't here. And I dressed in, you know, as if he was here. You know, I had a beautiful, gorgeous, sexy robe on, and I did my hair and my makeup and perfume and bathed, and it was just so beautiful. And as I sat here, I felt as if he was here. And I did the show that way, and I didn't feel any less pleased with the experience, you know, of him not being here. And then again, I had another experience that was again so beautiful the other day, where I had, excuse me, the feeling of if he's in me, it is really in me, in my mind, pictured in my physical, and every cell of my being knows what it feels like to be with him. That when I'm with him, I feel like I'm alive, that I feel like, you know, it is a sexual, sensual, beautiful energy. And so I started feeling him in me. And when I say in me, I mean I became him. I felt his whole presence engulfed me, in me. And it was so absolutely beautiful because I knew that it was all about me. And when I really can sustain that, when I choose to sustain that, I really feel so rich because I know then that what I'm teaching is my truth and it is becoming realized. And the more that I feel that, know that, the more that I'm in contentment. And the more that I'm in contentment, the more that contentment will be a part of my reality. All right, so we have somebody saying, hey, on, I was on mute and the call just dropped, yeah. A lot of people were on the line. I'm so sorry, but my icons are gone, so I'm having a hard time opening up to callers. So if you can't get back on, I'm so sorry. And at least 4 calls got dropped, and it was Blog Talk, unfortunately. But, you know, if you need to ask questions or you want to suggest anything on the chat room, please feel free. But can you understand, and again, you know, we're not communicating physically, but telepathically, if you can feel the vibration of knowing love, you know, if you're with a relationship for a little bit, you know, you can feel that person, you can smell that person, you can taste that person, the sensory, the heat of that person, there's just so much that you can tap into. And that's how to make manifest that reality in form. That's how to do it. And it is absolutely beautiful. It's to actually assume it, you know, to feel what it feels like. I remember the first time that I got money, a lot of money, and it was $90,000. And I remember having it. I picked it up in a little suitcase. And I remember that every bill, those chunks of bills, I mean, I could smell it. I can feel it. I mean, I know what that feels like. And once you realize that all you need to do is go there to see it. And when I mean go there, you go into that state of assumption and you actually feel what it's like to feel that experience. And there it is. You know, being mommy, being me healthy, and to have that baby in your being is such a beautiful state of being. And everything that we dream to make manifest through us is done that way. It's the nurturance. It's the healthy caring for the body. And when you're, especially the second baby for me, you know, I was really ready to be mommy. And I wouldn't do anything to take away from that experience of loving my child in me before it was born. And that is the key to all manifestation being realized. In the positive, in the love state of being. Of course, 24/7 we're doing that unbeknownst to us with the subconscious, unconscious programs that were plugged into us. But when you become conscious, you go into that state consciously.
My love is not here. What do I do? Feel him. Know him. Smell him. Taste him. Hear him. Love him. Be him. Become that lover. And there it is. But he's not there in the body yet. That's all right. For whatever reason, you're not seeing him in the body. And you know why you're not seeing him? Because something's saying, I don't want to see him yet. And what is that that's saying it? It's a subconscious program that's keeping what you desire away from you. So you don't, you know, you don't reject it. You don't say, oh, it's not here. When's it coming? Oh, my God, I'm waiting. You say, it is here. I am it. I am one with it now. And that's truly the only truth there is. That's the only reality it ever is anyway, because the outpicturing is just a projection of your own feelings. I have a friend who got married late in life, and she, in her 40s, and her husband died like a couple of years later. She had two sons like 5 years later, and he came to her every night in sleep state and had sex with her. Because in her, it was such a new honeymoon experience for them. They didn't have time to fight. They didn't have time to go into the repeated patterns that were handed down from the fathers that came before them. They were in the honeymoon effect, like Bruce Lipton would say. So she was so in love that she did not lose a beat with this guy, that he never left her until she finally came back into a reality when the kids were growing, that she detached from that and became aware that he was gone. That's profound. I'm so happy that came through me just then, because that's absolutely a profound knowing. And on the chat room, this aspect, nocturnal witchcraft guy, and he's saying working with energy, nocturnal energy, and some is very powerful. And he sends a link. So anybody who wants that link, go in the chat room. It looks like it's really cool, and I will check it out. Thank you so much. But so anyway, what I'm saying is to feel it, to truly feel it. And again, this is the summer solstice, and people believe that, you know, this is when the blossoming occurs. This is the beautiful aspect of the, you know, the Garden of Eden, so to speak. And we are, those that are awakened in reality, in the reality we call this world, are truly seeing the fruits of their labor. We are starting to see the glory of this world, and a heaven while here on earth. And that means that, you know, a friend of mine says, you know, would you believe that cardinals are, you know, nesting in my house, in my garden? And I said, get out of here. And the cardinals are gone, they grow, and now doves are there. I mean, what could be more beautiful than that? It's such a beautiful, beautiful manifestation of love realized. And so the lover may not be with you right now, but don't see it that way. Don't see the money's not with you right now. Don't see that everything you've ever dreamed about is not with you now. Because in truth, everything is here and now infinitely. We are in a parallel, simultaneous reality 24/7, and all we need to do is just change our vantage point slightly, assume it, and we see it. And it may not be the same face we thought it would be. But it's not about that. It's about the feeling, tone. What I feel about me is what I see. What I think about me, I will experience. And then when you let it go, like I have, and you say, God is, I am. I'm the vessel. I'm the clean wineskin. God can only pour through me what is I'm receptive to. God can only give me what I'm willing to receive. So what am I willing to receive? Everything. I walk into every store and, you know, everybody laughs at me because they know me. You know, what would you like in Starbucks? Everything. You know, I've experienced everything. Life is about fully actualizing experience. And the more that you realize that and focus on you being it, you know, if the closest that you can come to is a memory of the first love or the first beautiful painting you ever saw or the first pet that you received, and that love, that remembrance of love, then go there. Take yourself to the remembrance of what it was like to kiss the love of your life. I have met the love of all lifetimes. And that kiss will never, ever be forgotten. I finally realized that I allowed myself to be loved for a nanosecond by me completely, and it showed up. Now, to sustain that means that I have to be ever vigilant. For what? For God and His kingdom. But I've got to believe that I am the heir to all that is. And all I have to do is ask, and I shall receive. For years I saw on license plate 7777, and I kept on saying, what is this? And then I finally saw a license plate that said Matthew 7:7, and it says, ask and you shall be, and you shall receive. Knock and the door will be open. What you ask for, and it's not a verbiage, it's not verbal, it's a feeling tone, because what you feel is much louder than what you speak. And now you speak and you feel, and it's mind-boggling, because the feeling is the tone that resonates with universal intelligence. It's, you know, it's the angelic realm, that the sounds of infinite potential, infinite love. You feel it, and every cell in your being, physical body and your body of work, reacts. I'm sad, I'm depressed, it reacts. What happens to my physical body? What happens to my world? I'm thrilled, I'm happy, I'm so excited. What happens to my physical body and my world? I am it. I assume it. There it is. What I assume becomes my reality, and it starts with my feeling tone. How do I feel about me? And if I feel great and I'm not seeing it, it's not about present moment. It's about the past. It's about the past. And if it's about the past, let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Stay present in love. Conscious mind, review. Be conscious of what you ask for. Consciously know and review what it is you're asking for. And what are you asking for? How are you feeling? Because you can say one thing and feel another, and it absolutely dilutes it or it negates it. So know in your heart that what you feel is what you'll see. Go to sleep tonight, Jenna, Joe, and whoever the other callers are, and whoever archives this, and whoever's on the chat room. Know that what you feel, you will bring to life. And what you've been feeling, you have brought to life. And if you didn't like the way it looked, it felt, it smelled, it tasted, it sounded like, then you have to become conscious about what you feel. And even if it's going to the extreme, start listening to tapes that are positive, positive, beautiful, subliminal tapes. Listen to my I Am meditation on Ananda of Love on YouTube. It's the I Am meditation. 5 minutes, it changes lives. Is it outside you? No, it's a part of you. Resonate with the I Am. I am beautiful. I am rich. I am loved. I am loved. Be loving to you, be loved, beloved, be loved. We have only a couple minutes left. I love you. I'm so sorry that I couldn't converse back and forth with you. Again, anandaoflove@aol.com. Don't hesitate to write me. My website, mindmending.net. I have loads of CDs, books, all that jazz, a lot of free stuff. Counseling, give me a holler. We can talk on Skype. I love you. Remember, what you feel, you will see. So start feeling the way you really should feel. Completely loved, because you are beautiful. You are dynamite. You are the master of your universe. Feel it, know it, and see it. I love you all, and you guys have a beautiful week. And look forward to talking to you same time, same place next week. Good night now. Bye.